Hi, and welcome to the Crime Pod. I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Sam.
This week, we are off to Southampton in England, and I'm going to give you a warning now that this case involves discussing child sexual abuse. So this week, I'm going to be telling you the case of Lucy McHugh. Before we get into the case and before I ask you, Samantha, by the time this episode comes out, we are only going to be 4 and a bit weeks away from CrimeCon, which has gone so, so fast. I feel like when we first got invited, we were talking about it and be like, oh, it's ages away. And now we're like, so that is really, really soon. I know, that is really, really soon. So yeah, it's just a kind of final call for that. If people are still interested or still swaying whether to get tickets, it is the 27th of April in the Hilton in Glasgow. It's a full day thing. That's the lineup announced now, and I was just reading through it, and it is amazing. All the different content creators, but also the different talks. There's like 10 different talks on throughout the day. There's a CSI experience, so it sounds really, really amazing.
Oh,
so
I can't wait for that.
I know, I'm really excited. I know, we're going to keep leaving our stall. Be away doing stuff. So yeah, we're really excited to be there and to kind of enjoy it all. So if you are still looking for tickets, I think there is some still available, and you can get 10% off your order by using CrimePod all in caps for a wee 10% off. And I don't know if there's still payment plans available because it's so soon, but there might be. So it's always worth checking out on the CrimeCon website, who are partnered with True Crime. Sam, is there anything you want to add to the CrimeCon situ?
I still haven't lost 5 stone. No, I look forward to seeing it.
Oh, dear.
Can't wait
gain
for it.
5 stone.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no, you'll see us.
It'll be good.
It'll be good. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to meeting you guys. Hopefully there's some of you, not people being like, who's that?
Yeah.
So that'd be nice. Okay, so Sam, have you heard in the case of Lucy McHugh? Her surname is M-C-H-U-G-H, so I think it's a bit of a Scottish accent to say it more like McHugh. Do you know what I mean? Instead of McHugh?
Yeah, McHugh.
But it does sound like you're saying it with a Q. Mm-hmm. Anyway, sorry.
No, I haven't heard of her. I've heard of Southampton, but not her. So I can't really say I look forward to hearing it, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, and that's why it was so difficult, because you kind of want to mention like CrimeCon, you want to like kind of have a laugh. But as I said, yeah, this has got a child sexual abuse warning. It's something we've not really covered in a while. I know my last case with Mark and John kind of touched on that, but again, they were both children. But this case it's sad. Of course, it's sad, and it's kind of looking at child abuse in a way where I don't think the person realised they were being abused, which a lot of people don't realise they're being abused at all, or it's a really, really common thing, but it was more of a relationship. I'll get into it and I'll explain. But just for a bit of a background, it indicates that 1 in 10 children experience child sexual abuse before the age of 16. Now, this was a 2022 independent inquiry into child sexual abuse, and it estimated that this occurs in 1 in 6 girls and 1 in 20 boys. But this is still constantly underreported. About 1/3 of child sexual abuse incidents are identified, and even fewer are reported. So you're talking a third. So 2/3 are just going missing. When we look at the perpetrators, more than 90% of abusers are people children know, love and trust. 30 to 40% of victims are abused by a direct family member. The other 50% are abused by someone outside of the family who they know and trust. So a family friend, you know, you've all got that kind of auntie, or, you know, like I've got a fanty that's like a fake aunt, or you've got a fake, that would fall into that category. So they are seen as a trustworthy and reliable person to the child. So Lucy was born on the 24th of October 2004. And as I said, she lived in Southampton. Southampton's a port city in Hampshire, England, and it's about 80 miles southwest of London. Her parents, Stacey White and Andy McHugh, were separated, and she lived with her mum, Stacey, predominantly, and her partner, Richard Elms. When I was reading into things, I think she was estranged from her dad. I think the parents had potentially had an argument. Don't quote me on that, but I'm sure I read something that her dad was then like, go on, seen in years or something. Lucy was bright, bubbly, and was known as, quote, brains, as she was so quick when she replied to things. She was intelligent and she loved learning, and she was just an all round lovely person to be around. Her stepdad, Richard, got a call one day in 2017 from his best friend, Stephen Nicholson. Now, Stephen had got himself in some bother and was unemployed and now being made homeless. So, of course, they're a nice family. They invited him to come stay with them. So he'd be moving in with Lucy, Stacey, and obviously Richard. Now, Stacey actually managed to get Stephen a job in the care home where she worked as well. So this is a complete fresh start for him. He's going to stay in their house, probably paying quite little rent. He's got a new job in a care home. He's kind of, do you know, this is an amazing offer. You don't hear of this happening often. But I'm going to tell you a bit prior this and who Stephen was. So he had spent a long time in care, and he was 15 when he went to his first young offenders institution. Now, the reason he went to young offenders is he took amphetamines, he armed himself with knives, and then held staff at his residential home hostage. He locked them in a room. He then stole £1,000 from the safe while holding a blade to a female resident's throat and made off in a staff member's car before being caught by police. So he was 15.
Yeah. That's, wow.
Yeah.
The complete opposite to Tracy Beaker.
Yeah.
Sorry if that was inappropriate, but I mean, no, that's what you think of a care home as, you know.
It's crazy, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's so crazy. Yeah. So he served 2 years in that youth detention centre for the incident. Now, while he was there, he and two fellow inmates barricaded themselves into the lunch hall before, again, they armed themselves with knives and he tries to stab a prison guard. They also caused £1,000 worth of damage in this canteen. And this is his childhood. So this isn't just, you know, this isn't like, oh, he was early 20s or whatever. This is like 15 years old. So as you can imagine, this is kind of shaping up what's happening. Do you know what I mean? So it's like he's not the type of person, and I'm not saying that people that are in care when they're younger are then going to go on to do things like this, but when you've heard these two stories, he's obviously involved in crime from a young age, so it's probably not going to get any better. Now, as an adult, he struggled a lot as well and got into bother, as I just said. He also owned a lot of reptiles. He had snakes. He was also a, quote, tattoo artist. I say, quote, as he had a tattoo gun and would tattoo underagers for cheap. But, yeah, he was also covered in tattoos. Like, when we put photos on the Instagram, you'll see him. He's covered in tattoos. So he wasn't an artist. He was just a bit weird. So Stephen moves in and he starts the new job. Now, when he moves in, Lucy is 12 and he is 23. Now, he brought his reptiles, he brought his snakes, and he also had a tarantula with him. Now, Lucy develops a bit of a crush on Stephen, which is fair enough. Do you know, if your kind of stepdad's friend's coming to stay with you and he's a young guy covered in tattoos, you probably are at 12 years old going to have a bit of a crush on him and think, oh, like, you know, he's nice looking or whatnot. But the issue is Stephen does not shoot this down and instead encourages a relationship between the pair. Now, a lot of information on the relationship itself is quite sparse, as we don't know exactly what happened and when, but we do know that the abuse pretty much started straight away. And that is what I'm going to call it, is abuse. As much as in Lucy's view, they are boyfriend and girlfriend and they are in a relationship, this is abuse because she is 12 and he is 23. There is a reason there's an age of consent, and obviously her at age 12 is not going to be able to be the same as he would be in a relationship. It's completely ridiculous. So he carries on this facade and says that they are boyfriend and girlfriend, and they obviously keep this quite secret. However, Lucy tells her friends at school. Of course she does. She's 12 years old, she's got a boyfriend who this 23-year-old tattoo artist is living in the house, and teachers are actually aware. So they report this in 2017 is when it's first reported. Now, they also, she moved school and it's reported again in 2018 to the social services, but both time no action is taken. She also had, when teachers had asked, she had said that they weren't in a relationship and they hadn't had sex or whatnot, but was saying different things to her friends. Her parents weren't aware of this going on. Now, they said they noted Lucy's behaviour had changed, like her personality had become a bit different. But by this time, she's kind of verging on, like, she's coming up for, and she is 14 by the end. So this can happen. When I was 14, you're probably moody, you're grumpy, you're having different behaviours, you're not going to be this little kid anymore. So her parents are probably assuming it's that. Now, they noticed an atmosphere in the house, and that Lucy and Stephen would argue and be hostile towards each other, which is completely like, I'll tell you a bit about it first, then we'll discuss it. So behind closed doors, Stephen would scream in Lucy's face, and one night he actually called her the C word. I don't know if this was witness, but he was shouting that kind of abuse in her face. Richard walked in once on Stephen and Lucy hugging, and Stephen pushed her away. One evening, Stephen snapped at Lucy and told her to get out of the way. And obviously, Stacey was really angry at the way that he had spoken to her. So Richard decided that he would only stay when Lucy was round at her grandparents. So this was kind of like a phased moving out. Months later, Stacey and Richard walk in to find him screaming at Lucy. So they're having one of these arguments and they walk in to find it. So actually, they order him to leave and not return. So he was asked to leave and he went and stayed with a friend and his mum who lived close by, which made me think, like, why were you not staying with your mum in the first place? Like, his mum didn't live too far, but then again, I don't know if his mum's a bit elderly. I don't know if there's kind of more reasons behind that, but he went and stayed with his mum and a friend at that time. Now, he left all his stuff, including his pets, at the house. So I'm not sure if this was a kind of temporary move. But going back to this, like, I can't imagine, like, the fact that they were screaming at each other's face, all this stuff, and the parents didn't immediately say go. But again, we don't know what the argument's about. We can't, I don't want to fully blame the parents at all, but I feel like that would be a huge red flag, and you'd probably be thinking, why is he arguing with.
Yeah, but then I guess like she's 14. She has, like, we all go through it, we're all temper. He's been an arsehole. Then the parents see the screaming, they're like, well, you're not going to be staying here when she's here. Clearly, she's our daughter, so she gets priority. And then when they see it again, they throw him out fully. So I think they did what they thought was right at the
Yeah,
time.
totally. And as I said, like, I am kind of indifferent with how I feel towards the family. I'll go on to a bit later, but there's like some comments that people believe that potentially they knew. There's people that say they don't know. Again, I'll kind of tell you both sides, but we're indifferent to it. Now, although Lucy at this point was obviously really scared, the Sunday before everything kind of happened, she tells Stephen. She had a hold over him for what he had done. So she tells him this via text. Lucy then tells Richard she needs to tell him and her mum Stacey something, but her mum was working late, so they actually never got round to having this conversation. A few days later, Stephen left work early, having sickness and diarrhea. And because he works in a care home, he would have to be off for 48 hours since the symptoms stopped. So he kind of cleverly knows this, like he can't, it's not one of those where you go homes sick at 3 p.m. and are expected in the next day. He knows he'll be off for 2 days. Now that afternoon he went to a friend's flat at Curtain Court. Now this was an elderly man, so I don't actually know if they are friends. Like, that sounds really bad, but I don't know if they are actually really good friends or if it's one of those, if maybe it's an abuse of power. I'm not sure and I'm not going to kind of speculate. But this was near the Southampton Sports Centre. Now, Stephen stayed at this flat for 3 hours doing what we do not know. He bought a new pair of trainers for delivery the next morning and changed, like, brought a change of clothes there. Now, Stephen and Lucy messaged on Facebook, and Stephen was careful with his responses. However, these messages have actually ended up being deleted, so we don't know what was said. At 8:15 a.m. the next morning, he returns back to the flat at 8:30. He cycles there, it's only 50 minutes away from him. At 9 a.m., he goes to a Tesco Express and was seen on CCTV wearing kind of older, kind of shabbier clothes. Stephen and Lucy spoke again. I'm not sure what about because messages were deleted. As half an hour later, Lucy left the family home and walked half an hour to the Southampton Sports Centre. Now, she was seen on CCTV heading to the sports centre, and she was walking with quite a purpose, checking her watch. Like she seemed like she was going somewhere. I don't know if this is a weekday or not. I think it was maybe a weekend because her parents thought she was going to visit a friend. Again, I don't know exactly the date of this. Now, a woman gave a statement who was walking her dog and said that she saw someone matching Lucy's description heading to the top cricket pitch because the last known sighting of Lucy on CCTV is her passing the same Tesco Express at about 10 a.m. Now, Lucy meets Stephen in the woods, and whatever happens prior, we aren't sure. We don't know why they've met. We don't know if he's maybe asked for a second chance. We don't know if they've maybe met to iron things out. Obviously, she's sent him that message saying she's got a hold over him. So he's obviously panicking, but maybe she's thought, John, they're going to make it and have another go at things. However, unfortunately, Stephen is the only person to leave the woods as he stabs her to death. Pathologist Dr. Basil Purdue, who was at the trial, told the Crown Court that Lucy suffered 20 stab wounds and 7 slice wounds to her face, upper chest, and forearms caused by a single-bladed knife. He said, quote, "The cause of her death was a catastrophic bleeding from a series of 11 injuries to the right side of the neck that punctured her right carotid artery in 3 places. This would have been rapidly followed by further sharp injuries to the face, neck, chest, and lower forearms." Now, as I kind of mentioned, there's defense wounds on her arms, but they said they found like a weird wound on her lower, like on her wrist, and it looks like she'd cut herself. So obviously Stephen has done this, and I don't know if he's done it hoping to just cut her wrist, hoping she'd kind of die quietly, and then it can almost look like suicide. It could be that she's went up to the woods and committed suicide. But obviously that hasn't worked, and he has become this attack is so frenzied. Like when I was reading it is completely butchered her, especially like the face and the neck. And as they said, the cause of death was catastrophic bleeding. So we've never really, like, I've never really seen a phrase like that. I don't know if in your research you've seen bleeding be described like that, but I think he's obviously punctured the artery and she has like blood. It's been one of those where, and I'm really sorry if this is graphic, blood is just sprayed. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it's just been so brutal.
Absolutely.
Which is horrific for, you know, a child, but anybody. Now, Stephen goes back to the flat, obviously gets changed, gets out his clothes, because again, if he has done this, he would have been in a mess. So I don't know if he's got changed in the woods. I don't know if he's got changed when he's gone back to his flat. But he goes home, gets changed, and on his way home, he buries his murder outfit in Tanner's Brook. Now, this is a river. It's about 7,000 miles long. It's a river. Now, the next day, he comforts Stacey, as at this point, they think Lucy is just missing. They haven't found her body. So he texts her saying, quote, "I hope they find her safe. Keep your chin up and stay positive." Which I just think is fucking disgraceful. Like, sorry for my language, but that is just so shit.
Yeah, but there's so many people like that, you know, like the Jessica and Holly, the guy, you know, they all help them find it. It's, yeah, they're sick bastards.
It's just fucking horrible. So obviously she's thinking she's missing, she's gone to see her friend, she's not returned home. So her mum's probably so worried, and he is planting the seed of like, no, she'll be fine, and trying to do this comforting thing. But unfortunately, a few hours later, Lucy's body is found. Now her mum is absolutely distraught and obviously then has to be taken to identify her body. Now, like, I just can't even imagine. However, I'm going to read you a statement that she said, quote, "The girl lying there with a dark cover pulled up to her chin was my 13-year-old daughter. Only she was so silent and still, it wasn't like her at all. I broke down in tears and I told her, 'You are so loved and missed. You always will be,'" end quote. So obviously, when I was doing my research and I read that her mum had to ID the body, I was like, oh my God. But obviously, that's why they've had to keep that cover pulled up to her chin, because the wounds were so horrific, which again is so horrible that she doesn't even get to see like her daughter's body. It's had to be covered up. Now, later that day, when it's obviously announced to the public that Lucy has been found, Stephen then calls Richard and tries to console him. He's saying, you know, this is absolutely awful. They're having this conversation. And then Stephen begins talking to Richard about where her body was found, about Southampton Sports Centre. However, this hadn't been released to the media. So Richard is like, how do you know this if this hasn't been released and isn't common knowledge? So Stephen becomes a suspect and is arrested the next day. Now, during questioning, he admitted he spoke to her that morning. Now, they asked to access his Facebook as he had changed his password, so they couldn't get on it. And Lucy's had also been changed, which they believe is potentially Stephen. But they couldn't do anything. Like, he denied access to his Facebook. So they could only hold him for 96 hours or they had to release him. So they have no evidence. Right now it's a new, potentially that, but they've got no DNA on her body. They have no CCTV of them together. They have absolutely no proof whatsoever. So they're going to have to let him go. However, something really interesting happens. Now, instead of charging him with murder, they charge him with something else. So they use Section 53 of the Regulation of Investigatory Powers Act, also known as RIPA. This is normally used when we're looking at national security and terrorists, etc. Like, this is not most commonly used, but it can be used in all serious crimes. So he is bailed immediately for Lucy and then all of a sudden is charged for failing to hand over his Facebook password. So that is something you can be charged with. And this goes to trial. He's held in custody, goes to trial, he pleads guilty and is sentenced to 14 months in prison for refusing to give over his Facebook password. I didn't know this was a thing, which is nuts.
Well, yeah, well, it would. I didn't realise it would come with a 14-month sentence, but it makes total sense. Like, you're just, one, you're showing how guilty you are if you're not giving over your Facebook mm-hmm. password. But two, it's like, breach, and you know, you know that word that I can't think of, but like, you're covering up mm-hmm. something.
Yeah, totally. So very, very clever from the police, because that is amazing. They can just keep him. He's in jail for 14 months, so they've got 14 months to investigate him instead of 96 hours. Now, as I said, there was no DNA or physical evidence and they couldn't locate a murder weapon. So the police go to a data analyst who found that Stephen's phone had been near the area where she was murdered at that time. They then follow his phone and where it kind of popped up, and they see it ping up near Tanner's Brook. So the police do a fingertip search and find a bag of burnt clothing and a blood-soaked hoodie. DNA found on this cloth matched both Stephen and Lucy. Now, it was obviously partially burnt, and I think he would have, obviously, if he wasn't kept in prison, he'd have gone back and completely destroyed it. So this 14-month sentence has kind of got them their man, really. He is then charged with Lucy's murder and his trial takes place a year later and lasts 6 weeks. Now, notes were found after Lucy's death in the investigation about a relationship. She left notes. I don't know if it was like a diary. I just have the word notes. Now, we know basically she began being abused the whole time she was there, that he was there. And in one note she wrote, "Whatever this is, it has to end." Notes were found as well written to her cousin a couple of weeks prior her death, and she had written that the relationship with Stephen had become a burden and that Stephen had been violent towards her and she was scared of him. In 2012, there's another story that then comes forward about a 14-year-old girl when Stephen was 18. She had got in touch with Stephen about getting a tattoo. Now, they chat online and begin flirting, and Stephen asks the girl to have sex with him and she agrees, and they go to Southampton Sports Centre and have sex in the woods. So this is the same place that Lucy's found, but it then also comes out that he has done this before. I also don't believe that he stopped in 2012 and then went 5 years without abusing anybody, but nobody came forward. Like, that girl came forward once he was charged with Lucy's. She obviously is like, well, this has happened to me, and realised it was abuse. That's why I mentioned that at the start. She probably thought that she was just kind of casually meeting this guy. Do you know, at 14, you think you're so old and you think you know everything, but actually that's not okay that he was 18 years old and sleeping with 14-year-olds. Now, Stephen, in The judge in the closing remarks said, quote, about Lucy, that she had ceased to be an interest to him for his easy sexual gratification, which I think is absolutely true. And I think it sums him up perfectly. Like, it was all fine when they were living in the same house. He was abusing her. And then when she decided to stop this and realised it was wrong, he knew that it was either all going to come out or that she was no good to him anymore. Now, he was found guilty of murder and also guilty for 3 counts of rape, age 12, and 1 count of sexual activity with a child, which was the 14-year-old. He was sentenced on the 19th of July 2019 to life in prison with a minimum of 33 years, meaning he can apply for parole in 2052. Now, Detective Superintendent Paul Barton said about Lucy, quote, "Our thoughts are with Lucy's family and friends who will never see her fulfil her hopes and dreams. Stephen Nicholson has been shown to be a predatory paedophile who lured a 13-year-old girl to her brutal death. This was a case that shocked the city, and the support we received from the local community was excellent. The investigation faced a number of challenges, and my officers and staff deserve enormous credit for their efforts in gathering evidence. Yesterday's guilty verdict is a testament to the bravery of the witnesses who gave evidence to bring this violent and manipulative man to justice. He continues to show no remorse for what he's done and put all of Lucy's family through the ordeal of a trial." So that was kind of what the police had to say, kind of end quote there. Now, I want to touch on something as well, and I kind of want to make it very clear that I am totally transparent to this. Like, I don't have a thought, but it's about her mum. So a lot of comments I was reading online, a lot of different blog posts, etc., were people that were really angry, being like, well, how did her mum not know? And we spoke about that. She was going through puberty. It could be, you know, her mum's working at a care home. That's crazy shift. So it could be loads of different things. However, there is people that said her mum was aware. And I think it's only fair to talk about that. But again, as I said, we are completely indifferent. Now, one of Lucy's school friend's mother had raised concerns, and Lucy's mum, so basically Lucy's told her friend at school, her friends went home and told her mum, being like, Lucy's sleeping with this man or whatever, obviously seeing it as this. The mum's obviously realised that as abuse. She has raised the concerns, but apparently Lucy's mum claimed her daughter was living in, quote, fantasy land and simply just had a crush. Now, Lucy herself later spoke to her mum, apparently, according to a friend, about the abuse, but her mum told her to apparently, quote, shut up. One of Lucy's friends, who wasn't able to be named for legal reasons, actually stood up in court and said that 2 weeks before she died, she told me Stephen was slapping her and it was getting worse. I told her to go to her nan's and I asked if she had told Stacey. She said she did, but Stacey told her to shut up and to get out of her fantasy land, as it would ruin someone's life. Now, that's all I kind of have, and I don't want to go any further into it because I'm not defending her mum at all. If she knew and she didn't do anything about it, that's obviously not okay. But then also, we don't know what Lucy said to her mum. We don't know how much we know. We don't even know if this is true. So, yeah. Obviously, Stephen is still in prison. I couldn't find out what prison he's in, but I just kind of wanted to read something that I thought was quite sad. Was her stepdad, Richard, was attacked in 2020 in the street and called a paedophile. Now, he was in a shop and 2 males came into the shop, threw abuse at him, saying that he knew this whole time and he was encouraging it. They then pushed him to the ground and punched the back of his head, etc., which was absolutely awful. And it came out that he had actually worked with one of the attackers before, so they knew each other. And this man just stopped him and abused him in the street, which was absolutely horrific. So that is kind of the end of the case there. I just think this one was a bit more different, and I think it really showed, you know, how in her eyes this was a relationship, but actually she had realised it was wrong. She had realised this wasn't okay, and then he obviously went on and killed her, which was absolutely horrific. But Samantha, I don't know if you've got anything you would like to input about this.
No, not really. I don't have anything extra to add. It's awful. It's one of those cases where it's like, you know, you've said everything you can on it. sorry. These things are just grown-ups that, like, go out with children and think it's okay. I'll never get my head around it. And it was never going to end well when she found out that, oh, what I'm doing isn't good. So
no, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's why I'd said that as well. Like, I know you said Grant's going to return. That is abuse no matter what age they are. And I think, you know, he's probably thinking to himself, because they're 14 and they're virgin adulthood, there is a reason, there's a like an age of consent for a reason. Sorry. And that, you know, we don't just make that up for the fun of it and go like, oh, you're not allowed to do this until you're, there is a reason. And that is because that is not okay to be doing that with somebody. And I think it's absolutely horrific. So thanks for sticking with us, guys. I know it wasn't a nice one this week. And if this has affected anyone, I can apologise. There's lots of resources out there. I can tag some in the show notes as well. But yeah, sorry about the dark topic of this week, but I felt it was only fair to tell Lucy's story because she sounded great, and good on her for actually sticking up for herself in the end. I think that's really, really brave to do that.